as you know, tonight is about missions. And for a while, missions have been very intriguing to me and very interesting. As a student at GGCA, we talk about it a lot in our Bible classes, and we even have a missions day at the end of the year. We learned that missions aren't just about the place you're in, but it's about the condition of your heart, which is true, because it takes a big step of faith to go onto the mission field, especially spontaneously. Most of the time, you're not really thinking, I'm going to go into the mission field today. You know, God is reaching out to you in maybe more ways than one, and is like, I need you to do this for me and for the body of Christ. Sometimes when you're called onto the mission field, there can be anxiety, there can be doubt. And those things are from the enemy. The enemy doesn't want you to go onto the mission field because he doesn't want you to fulfill God's purpose for you, which is spreading the word of God. Tonight, I'll be interviewing two missionary couples who will tell you guys what the mission field is like and how it affected their relationship with God. So let's get started, shall we? Okay. Our first question is, why did you guys go on the mission field? I want to hear from both of you guys on this.
Okay. So I'll speak for both of us, okay, in this one, I guess, because hers might be different. But why did I go? This isn't cliche either. It was the atmosphere in the church. It was our culture. And just being in the church, sitting in these chairs, and sitting in Bible college, I didn't know of anything else to do. I mean, I thought that's what you actually did. And it was a gift. It was actually a gift of just receiving from this church. That's why I thought of going. Okay?
I'm going to let my wife answer first because she actually went first. I was already there.
Yes, so we have a couple different times we've gone out, but just when I was single and I finished Bible college, like Pastor Gary said, that's just kind of the thing you do. So you go on the mission field. So I thought I would go, and I planned to stay for 3 months. That was it. Pastor Wood had visited our church. Was like, hey, we need help. So I bought a ticket and planned totally to come back. And that didn't happen. So going was the easy part. What was crazy was the staying. It was like experiencing the most profound sense of like rightness about being there. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, just got on an airplane, and then when I got off, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm sure you'll hear from us again, but about how when we were already married and went out again, and then when we had one kid and we went out again, and then with three kids going out again. It was definitely about hearing God's voice, but knowing that the yeah was there, like the rightness was there, like that we belong there. And for us, it's Latin America. We have a really deep burden for Latin America. It's pretty profound. It's easy to say yes when you know like how good it is once you get there. Just have to get on the airplane.
Okay, on this question, I want to hear from our lovely ladies. What did you find to be different than what you thought after going on the field? I also want to hear from you guys, especially because you guys are mothers, and I know that like it must have been difficult having children on the mission field and going back and forth.
We were living in Germany, and I had the twins, and they were 5 when we moved to Germany and 17 when we moved home. And I remember during the split, we lost 5 supporters, maybe, and 2 churches, 3 churches and 2 supporters, like individuals. And the dollar became weaker, the euro became stronger. And I would pay my bills, and at the beginning of the month, I had nothing left for the whole month. And the struggle was, how am I going to feed these children and my husband, and what are we going to do? And I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. I remember walking up the sidewalk after paying maybe a bill, maybe one thing, and that was it. We had no more money. And I remember sitting in my husband's office and looking out the window at the birds playing in the wisteria bush and thinking, those birds don't have one thought about where they're living, what they're going to eat. They're so happy. They're just excited about life. They're just floating around, flitting, and they're playing, and they're just unconcerned about everything. And at that moment, I repented, and I said, I had the worst anxiety and fear. I would wake up bolt upright with just unbelievable crippling fear because of just situational living. And I saw those birds, and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I have lived in fear. And you told us 366 times in the Bible, adamantly, to fear not. And I said, I am so sorry for living in fear. And from that moment on, when fear would rise up and this anxiety would rise up, I would yell, no. And I would take control, and I would take authority over my emotions and say no. And it ebbed away, and after about 3 days, there was no more fear and no more anxiety. And I said, I refuse to live in fear. And no matter what the situation would come, I said, I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to live in fear. And we watched God open his hand and personally provide for us over and over and over again. So my personal struggle was having children on the mission field, trying to live with limited income and finances, but watching the hand of God provide for us was the most astounding thing ever. And I'll never forget how beautiful that was.
So definitely, once we had kids, the finances became an issue, not because God hadn't provided before, but because we couldn't just, Martine and I, like, sofa surf and, you know, crash anywhere. We went from, like, seriously, we lived in a Sunday school classroom with no hot water and a curtain to separate our living quarters. When it was just us, that was totally fine. And once you have kids, you kind of are a little more aware of needing to provide for them. So, like, where our next meal was coming from was kind of more of a concern. But definitely God provided every time. No doubt about that. I mean, they're actually sitting back over there. They're really good little kids. Just amazing to watch them have faith, too. What was different was the very concept of missions for us. You know, when I first went, I thought it was preaching and door knocking and evangelism and, you know, of course, that's what missions is, but it's also relationship with God and relationship with people. And I had a friend that went to Thailand around the same time. We joke a lot because he would call me, like, dude, 800 people heard the gospel. You know, like, the most amazing things for him preaching in Thailand. And I was like, wow, I cleaned the Sunday school classrooms and I made lunch, you know, and, you know, like, I printed a couple tracks. It was a good day. Once we had kids, it was like I did homeschooling and I made lunch, and lunch takes like 4 hours to make. So it was definitely different. Like, you have a preconceived notion of what it is, and sometimes it's taking someone out for ice cream or a cheeseburger, and sometimes it is preaching, you know, but it's more about getting to know God and getting to know the people that he puts in your life, for sure.
Our next question is, what was your greatest struggle while on the field? Anyone can answer this.
I would say the greatest struggle for me when we went back, because I lived here, so we got married, we moved up here, then we went back 2 years afterwards. It was like in those 2 years, I kind of became like another person. Yeah, I was Americanized in 2 years. It only took 2 years. Your culture sucked me in. So then I went back, and the struggle was to adjust again to the timing. So, you know, for short-term missions, you know, you don't see that, you know, you don't see it as much that everything runs slower. But once you live there, you know, you have to trust the timing of everything, not only for finances, but you also have to trust the timing for paperwork, for paying your bills, everything, because everything goes slower over there. So you gotta be, you even have to wait for the bus. You have to wait 30 minutes for the bus or something. So, you know, when you go out, you maybe accomplish one or two things a day. Unless you are Pastor Collins, I don't know if he's watching, he can do like 10 things in a day. He's like flash. But the rest of us, you know, the rest of us Latinos, we only accomplish a few things. So definitely, you know, that the lower pace of life, it could be, you know, a struggle where you're saying, well, we're not getting anything done. Where's the production here? and you know, kind of be able to wait in God and, you know, wait for Him to move, right?
It's an interesting question, the greatest struggle, because the first year of our time in Ukraine, I was newly married and I barely knew my husband. And so we went to Ukraine after 6 months of being married, and strange country, strange language, no friends, the worst weather they had had in 30 years, ice storm after ice storm after ice storm. And it was gray from September to April, and I thought it was the hardest year of my life, 100%. That was the hardest year of my entire life. And then I was pregnant with twins. And no doctor for the first two trimesters, because I was warned, don't see a doctor, you'll get an infection, it's Ukraine, and so don't, you know. So it was a very trying year, the hardest of my life. But years later, I was in Budapest, and I was standing there, and who came in but probably 10 Ukrainians that had been teenagers when we were there that first year. And they stood in a semicircle around me. It was the first time I had seen anyone from the Ukraine. And I was stunned that that hardest year of my life could produce such fruit. And those beautiful people, they just stood around me beaming. And I thought, my gosh, I would go through that any time, again and again, to see these beautiful people. And they're still there. And they're pillars of the church, and they're missionaries, and they've started other works. And there are, who knows how many beautiful souls have been saved because of these sweet people who love the Lord so much. And it was the hardest year of my life. My husband worked his heart out, and Pastor Chris Moore, it was just the three of us, and Jack Byers came for a few months. But it was the hardest year of my life, but the fruit of that year, you can't even measure it. And that is what the mission field is. It's not looking for the rosy, romantic vision of travel and excitement. It's rubber meeting the road and trusting God and having His faithfulness meet you where you are in your struggle on the mission field. And it's always the fruit is what is the most beautiful thing, you know, and that's what our lives are, is what, you know, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we abide in the vine, and that produces fruit. It's an amazing thing. I'll never forget that year.
Describe a moment where you saw God in a personal way while on the field. Pastor Gary, can you answer this one?
Okay. How did I find God when I was on the mission field? Incredible need, just personally, maybe a personal struggle, maybe something in the church. There's so many surprises in the church, in church life, in church planting. And I forgot the question, but I know how I was going to answer it, but you would find God. I used to be afraid to call home, you know. Well, you know, Pastor Shabelli and Pastor Shell, I think I'm weak, or, you know, afraid to call home, or, you know, like, I don't, you know, like, oh, but God will be faithful. Should I call them now? I don't know what to do. But always finding an incredibly personal God. And, you know, how many times, you know, yelling literally, physically on the streets of Berlin on my bicycle, yelling out to God, you know, looking like a crazy man going down the streets on the main street at 10 o'clock at night, the only guy yelling. I used to yell at people just to try to provoke them on the way home because I was like, you know, I don't know, I was going crazy in my mind and I would like try things. But then I would find God. I would find God. And it was amazing. It was amazing how God is desperate to meet us at these incredibly weak places, and he wants to take us to these weak places, and he meets us there, and he adds something to our life, and those are things you can, you know, those are our treasures in our life.
So. For our final question, both couples can answer this together. What words of encouragement would you offer those considering going on a mission trip this year?
What I would say is that for many people that we encounter at a church, it's like a lifeboat. It's the place where they come to be saved from what's going on around them. It's that place of solace, right? We found that with many, many people that then we see their environment, where they live, and then we could see how God was working in that place. So to me, that's encouraging, knowing that right now, particularly right now and in the decade to come, with all the changes that are coming down in South America and the social and political and economical aspect, there's going to be more and more feeling of being lost and not having hope, right? And the song says, "Found hope," right? When the world is lost, well, the world around them is pretty lost, right? It's especially think about for those that are younger. There's no prospect of future. Financially or job-wise, anything you wanna. So to me, that's an opportunity that you know that we can go there and plant churches, because the message of the gospel has hope, right? We heard this morning, right, that it's the ministry, right, the word, right, and then that. The gospel of grace was needed in this circumstance, right? The gospel of grace build communities that are grace-based communities, where people can come and be washed in the message, right, little by little, and grow, right? So that to me that's very encouraging. You know, it's like the fields are ripe right now, right?
Yeah, so why should someone go when summer harvest is summer? Oh, wait, first of all, I want to just tell this story about Cambodia, just real short. I was in China, I got kicked off of a plane. I mean, I didn't get kicked off, but it was canceled. So they were taking you to a hotel. And the bus wasn't coming. I said, "Where's this bus at?" You know, I said, "I can't find it." And this man from Singapore said, "It's supposed to come right here." And he actually got kicked off of this. Or he was. I don't know if it got canceled or what happened, but we got put up in a hotel overnight. And so I said, "Well, let's have dinner tonight together." So you know, they give you money to have. And then it ends up he was from Singapore. He knew about a ministry in Cambodia. We talked about. You know, we talked about that, and that he gave us a contact of someone to meet in Cambodia, and that's, you could say that's how, you know, the kind of started to visit Cambodia, but just, you know, not taking a flight, meeting somebody in Beijing, China. But why go in summer harvest? I think of it like dating. You want to get married. Like the end is like to get married, but you have no idea how it's going to happen. And you don't even have to have the tools in order how to get married. Like you can't even speak to, you know, the opposite sex, or, you know, you're like weird, or you're like you're totally insecure, and so that's the way we are with missions. You know, we want it to happen, but, you know, and then like you're dating, you're like, you're looking at the person or whatever, and you want it to happen, and like there's all kinds of reasons why it could never happen, but you have this desire that it could happen. Like, I can't speak, you know, maybe I don't even love people. I don't know how to love people. You know, I'm afraid to be with a group, you know, but that's the goal. Take a little step of faith, just like, you know, and knowing that you have none of the tools to actually become that. Because when you go, I mean, I was thinking on the mission field, we discovered our gifts. I didn't, you know, maybe I had one gift. You know, I'm a Christmas tree with one gift. But I discovered it on the mission field. You know what I mean? That was great. Just forget what you don't have. And say, yeah, I want to be a part of that, you know. And then sell your heart to that vision. Don't look at the natural things, and it can happen. And that's why, you know, go this summer. Don't look for a reason not to go. Look for a reason to go, and let's see what God does. Let's see what God does in forming these new churches. Let's believe this. Let's believe this corporately together. Not a few people holding the signs, but let's go and let's believe this corporately. I guess that's something that, you know, I desire. I would like to say about that. Okay?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but that was it for me. I'm convinced. I'm ready to go.
God would touch souls in Baltimore, around the world. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Father, thank you. Thank you for this ministry, throne ministry. We heard this morning, throne spirit, spirit from the throne, throne words, throne church. Thank you. Thank you that we have victory in the battle. Thank you, God. We pray for lost people in this city. God, you would bring many people to this church. We're on a mission here. Across the street, as we heard years ago, and around the world, the mission is still the same. Okay, thank you. If you turn to Acts chapter 20 with me. Acts 20. Great night, isn't it? Thank you, Pastor Rinaldo. Thank you, Pastor Schaller, for leading us. And thank you, the elders of this church, and we are in a blessed place. There's no doubt about it. Acts chapter 20. A few verses here. Starting in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Say that, bound in the Spirit. I'm bound and I'm a prisoner of the Holy Spirit. By the way, a willing prisoner of the Holy Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit. Wow. unto Jerusalem. And I like this word, these words, not knowing the things that shall befall me or await me there, except or save the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, not just in one place, but in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. That's a great promise, isn't it? But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. From this ministry, as God calls a man in Maine many years ago, and the ministry moves from Maine to Massachusetts, from Massachusetts to Maryland, it's really incredible to think what God has done. What who has done? What God has done. Psalm 126 says, the Lord has done great things for us. He delivered us from a captivity. We were lost, and then we were delivered. There's another captivity that can happen to a church or a Christian, and that's the captivity of having nothing to do really with the gospel. There are many churches out there, sad to say, that really have very little interest in the propagation of the gospel. And this can happen. It can happen in any one of our lives. One point, this country, and I think it's the greatest missionary country still on the face of the earth. There's the flag. And it really is. At one point in recent history, 90% of all missionaries came from the United States of America. Did you know that? Now you do. 91% of all mission money came from this country. So this country was raised up by God and blessed by God and given a missionary message and a mission to the whole world. And it's incredible when you think about it. I was looking at what God is doing through our ministry and many others like it around the world, but we have 744 churches in 77 countries. Give yourselves a hand. Isn't that something? 744 churches in 77 countries. This ministry is planting churches at a rate of 30 a year. 457 churches have been planted in the last 15 years, since 2005. The whole ministry worldwide. That's incredible. That makes me want to smile. Say hallelujah. I was watching Pastor Shibley's face when his daughter, I love watching his face when his daughter's singing. It's just beaming. It's like, yes, that's her. That's my daughter. And really, when you think about what God has given and what God is doing, it's really remarkable. It's really remarkable to think about what is actually taking place. And as we heard a great message on the throne this morning, I had another message, but as I was sitting up there, I thought about the throne of God. As Pastor Shallow was describing what Stephen saw today, he saw the throne of God. In the middle of being surrounded by the enemy, stones flying at him, he was totally occupied with the throne. And you know, that can be how it could be with us. There are so many things going on in my life and so many things going on in our world. It's very easy to be occupied with what's going on in my life, what's going on all around me, what's taking place in the world, instead of just looking. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You know, and what comes out of that? I mean, lay not this sin to their charge. He saw the throne of God. And really, we have on the throne a Father who has a purpose. It's a throne purpose. This ministry has a purpose that comes from the throne. The word purpose, protithemi, means where I've been placed. And I thank God I've been placed in a ministry that has a purpose. Not just one that's playing little games, one that's just playing, you know, churchianity. Just playing around with let's play church. Hey, it's Sunday, let's play church. And that can take place. I'm not trying to be critical of places, but there's a lot of people that play church and never get to know God. But our ministry has a throne purpose. Amen? a purpose that comes from the throne of God. The word throne means the authority of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, the person of God himself. This is the rule of God, the reign of God. This is the throne. And so we have a throne purpose that comes from our Father. Amen? You can say amen once in a while. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I know you might be a little tired, but I don't think so. Then on that throne is the Son of God. And the Son of God, the throne of the Son of God. Then the Holy Spirit. Think about that throne, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He who makes the plan and has a purpose. He who is the performer and the person of the plan, and the one who empowers the Spirit, empowers and leads and guides us in the plan. This is the throne of God. This is amazing. If I am looking at man and man's ability and man's provision and man's thoughts and man's ideas and how to reach the world, I'm only going to get so far. And I'm going to get wearied, faint, and tired. But if I'm looking at the throne, and I am focusing on the throne of God, it's incredible what can happen. I'm going to hear throne words. Remember the message? I'm going to hear throne words. As Pastor Ronaldo heard in the bus on the way to Botswana. I'm going to hear words that come from the throne. And those words are going to motivate me with a throne ministry and a throne life. And it's incredible. But if I'm just listening, you know, I'm thinking about how we're going to do this. I like what those amazing examples of people said about missions, you know. If I'm looking at the situation, I'm looking at myself. If I'm looking inwardly, outwardly, I'm looking all around. I'm evaluating things. I'm looking at a checkbook. I'm kind of trying to figure out how missions are going to take place. I'm looking in the wrong place. But I need to look at the what? The throne of God. I need to look at the persons on the throne. And this will give me an amazing motivation for the mission that God has called us to. I was reading today about the student volunteer movement. I love the story. You probably heard me talk about it again. I don't have some kind of problem in my brain yet. Don't plan to either. But student volunteer movement in 42 years sent out 20,500 missionaries. That's 410 a year. That means like more than one a day was going. These were people like C.T. Studd, Hudson Taylor, people from all over the world. Young people like me. Young people like you. And just saying, I am going to go for this. Their motto was, no more career ambitions. It's all about foreign missions. Is it career ambitions? And I'm not against career ambitions, but am I on a mission? Am I on a mission? And I know we're all on a mission. We have Christ. We have a world that's lost. We have people right in our city. We have neighborhoods and all that. I'm not playing that down. I'm just saying we have an incredible purpose and an incredible mission that God has given us. And I say amen to that. It's so incredible to think that the words of the gospel that are in our hearts can be just spoken to people, and they can make decisions, and lives can be changed. I mean, can you imagine 20,500 missionaries from student volunteer movement? There was another group called the Mount Hermon 100, and they went out. These were young people. And that doesn't negate any of us. I mean, I've got some people that are 70 years old, and they're thinking about the mission field in Africa. They said, I might as well go die on the field. Much, much, much better. You know, I said, well, I don't know, whatever. Pray to God and see what God says, you know. But it doesn't, you know, don't ever think. And by the way, don't ever think you're too old to go to Bible school. Amen? We need to be trained in our calling. We need to be part of a local ministry, be trained in our calling. I believe every person has five calls. You're called to salvation. Jesus Christ, you're called to the church, you're called to be discipled, you're called to disciple, and you're called to win the lost. And so as these calls are being developed, then all of a sudden, heaven opens up and God speaks to me through his word and in the spirit. And before you know it, I'm standing in a place I can't even believe I'm there. Do you know that we have 75 Bible college students in Pakistan and they're on their way to Afghanistan? Some of them have a mission to Afghanistan.
Wow, that comes from where? The throne. That comes from the throne of God. That's from the Father's throne, the Son's throne, the Spirit's throne. They hear throne words. There's a throne life with a throne gospel because of a church that comes from the throne of God. Has that power, that authority, that glory. It's personal. It's got majesty to it. It's incredible. Not just the church. Not just the church. But it is a church on a mission. And I think that's incredible. And I'm so glad that God found me and placed me here. And I was thinking about that verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. I go bound in the Spirit. It means I'm a prisoner of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and my human spirit, they are together. I'm bound in the Spirit. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's so many people that have to try to figure it all out. As we heard, as Pastor Gary was saying, I got to figure it out. You know, how much is it going to cost? Where am I going to go? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? What's the visa going to be like? I went to places and a man said to me one time, he said, oh, by the way, you don't have a visa? I said, oh, do I need one? He says, you can be here 30 days and then you're going to leave. You have to go. There's no visa going to be granted to you. He said to me, I don't like Christians and I don't like Americans. I'm not going to say where the country was. And I said to him, I went to the bathroom, I prayed, and I said, God, I'll give you three choices. Convert him, move him to another country, or kill him. I said, I'm not so sure what your plan is. I don't think it's to kill him, but I do think it is he should get converted. And I went back a little bit later, and he was gone. They transferred him to England. And I stayed. That was 1986. I'm still there. In that place, you know? Visa? Really? I got words from the throne. So God is able. And I'm not going to get occupied with all of these things. I could say, get occupied with my health. I was evangelizing yesterday and in the Northeast Market, and all of a sudden, the street started going 360 on me. So I grabbed the mailbox and held on to it. I was looking for help, and then Pastor Eugene and who else came? Oliver came. They put me in the car. I went home and I said, God, this can't happen. What's going on here? I don't understand. I'm asking you. You know what? There's things I have a schedule Saturday and Sunday. This can't be going on. Get rid of this. And a little bit of sleep, and I don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened. Maybe it was just like demonic attack of some type, you know? But we've got a God who sits on a throne, amen? And he has power, and he has authority, and he has ability. And I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing what is going to happen, except the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions await me, but I'm not going to be moved. I'm bound by God. Ephesians 3, 1 and 4, 1, Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. I don't want to be captive to something else. He was bound. We are bound in the Spirit. God has given us a church and a ministry, and no matter what part we play in that, we're faithful and loyal to give and to attend church and to be there and to speak to people and to give them the message, because we're bound in the Spirit. We give and we help, and missions goes forward. 744 churches. That's because people give. That's because people say, yes, I'm bound to this vision. The Spirit has bound me to this vision, to this ministry. And it's incredible what can take place. It's amazing to me when I look around and I see men and women trained all over the globe because people were willing to say yes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and hear from the throne. You know what? I'm not concerned about the stones you're throwing. I'm not concerned about what you think is going to be the end of my life. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Lord, receive my spirit. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Receive my spirit. Let's not get occupied with so many things in life. Who knows what is? Who could be sitting here and where they could go? Or who could hear the word of God and be transformed and be changed and find themselves in a place they can't even believe? What am I doing here? I said that to myself a number of times. What am I doing here? And then my wife said, what are we doing here? And then we look at each other and say, we're here because God sent us. God spoke. The throne words came. We heard the word of God. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Amen? Don't say I'm too old. What does that mean anyway, you know? Come on. John Wesley was still preaching when he was like in 90-something, riding horseback. Thank God we've got like airplanes. I was reading about David Livingstone. He walked 37,000 miles in Africa. I said he walked in the spirit. Imagine 37,000 miles on foot. Why did he do that? Why did Alexander McKay keep going in East Africa when seven of his team of eight died and he was the only one left? How could it happen that Judson could lose one wife and then another wife and then two of his children die and he would be a person that would write the Bible for the people of Burma and it still exists today? What is it about them? And there's no difference in our lives. Simply, I go bound. I go bound. I go bound to the Word of God. I go bound to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I go bound. How important it is. Because there's going to be things they're going to try to what? Move us. Anybody ever tried to move you? Old sin nature, the world. You still doing that Christian thing? I hear that when I go north sometimes. You still doing that Christian thing? I go bound. What's going on? What are you going to do? Like, when are you going to retire? I go bound. What about your health? I go bound. What about what the doctor says? I go bound. What about the finances, the checkbook? I go bound. I go bound in the spirit, not knowing, but I know God, and you know God, and we know God, and it's amazing. We think about where it started and where we've come to. Incredible. Men of God were bound. Men of God, churches were bound to the mission that God gave them. And here we are today, and who knows? 1,000 churches? Is that out of our reach? No, it's not at all. Let's pray and believe God. I go bound. Maybe you or I, God is speaking to. Maybe the next step. What's the next step that somebody takes? Is it to learn the Bible? Is it to get to know God? Is it to take a summer harvest trip? Is it signing up for Bible school? Is it getting involved with reaching out in Baltimore? Is it going to visit someplace? I was talking to somebody today, and they're in a certain country where nobody can leave their room because of a virus. Imagine you're going to be in a room for 2 months and food has to be delivered to you. I said, what's going on? He goes, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is in the hand of God. Amen? It's in the hand of God. I'm bound to the Spirit. I want to be bound to God's plan. I don't want to be bound to people's evaluations or self-analysis or what I think is going on, but I go bound. Let's be a people. Let's continue to be a people who are bound by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, God, for a people that are bound to the Spirit. We have a throne purpose. And on that throne is the Son of God. And the Spirit and the Word and the church comes from the throne. Throne of God. Thank you for giving us the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit directing us. We pray today, God, that we would become prisoners of the Lord, and they're the only people, as we are and continue to be prisoners of the Lord, as the only people that really are set free. It's only a prisoner of the Lord who is really free. Help us, God. There's so many things that try to lock us up and put us someplace other than where God would have us to be. Maybe you're here tonight and you thought about Bible school, you thought about missions, you thought about evangelism. God can turn thoughts into activity. He can change any one of us at any time. Help us, God. Help us, God, to be bound to the Spirit. Plant churches throughout this country, God. Churches in this world. We thank you for that throne of grace. We find grace to help in time of need. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ, you're watching on the internet, Jesus can set you free so you can be bound to him. Say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life and live in me. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit to change me. Set me free from my captivity. Captivity to sin and captivity to this world. Captivity to the devil and demons. Captivity. I want to be free tonight. Jesus will set you free. As believers, we thank you. Just stand and lift your hands to God. Jesus, set me free. Set us free, God. Praise him today. Thank you. Oh, maybe I don't even want to be bound, but God, you can do it. Not my will, but thine be done. Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit. Not knowing what takes place next, only that the Holy Spirit will speak to me and he will lead me and he loves me. He'll give me mercy and grace. He'll guide me, protect me, provide for me. He will help me in time of need. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.